Christ is risen indeed. Let us now hear our scripture lesson for today, a psalm of praise, Psalm 77, verses 11 through 20. I will recall all you have done, O Lord. I will remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. O God, your ways are holy. Is there any God as mighty as you? You are the God of great wonders. You demonstrate your awesome power among the nations. By your strong arm, you redeemed your people in the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. When the Red Sea saw you, O God, its waters looked and trembled. The sea quaked to its very depths. The clouds poured down rain. The thunder rumbled in the sky. Your arrows of lightning flashed. Your thunder roared from the whirlwind. The lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one could discern. You led your people along that road like a flock of sheep, with Moses and Aaron as their shepherds.
From Psalm, we heard that marvelous, mythical description of Exodus and a path of the Lord leading on the surface of waters. But before we go there, I want to share with you something. Famous German Roman Catholic, and in fact, Jesuit theologian Karl Rahner famously remarked, Jesus rose from death into the faith of his followers. Jesus rose from death into the faith of his followers. And you might agree or disagree with other aspects of Rahner's theology, but this is a profound insight which is being substantiated by current exegesis and understanding of the New Testament. Jesus rose from death into the faith of his followers. And if nothing else, we don't have any direct access to the events of Easter Sunday morning in Judea. We don't have any direct access to what happened 2,000 years ago. We can only listen and observe the testimonies of those who were before us. And so I want to read to you one such ancient testimony from Gospel of Mark. I will read from chapter 6, 45 through 51. Very early in the Gospel, not a traditional Easter text. Jesus sent his disciples ahead in the boat across the lake to Bethsaida, while he was to dismiss the crowd. And after saying farewell to them, he went up on the mountain to pray. Evening came, and the boat was far in the middle of the sea, and he by himself on the land. He saw them completely worn out by rowing, struggling against the wind and waves. And then right before the first sign of a daybreak, Jesus came to them walking on the sea as he was just walking by. But when they saw him walking on the sea like that, they thought it was a ghost and cried out in utter terror. But at that moment, he spoke to them. "Take courage. It's me. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat and the wind stopped. And they were completely amazed by amazement and awe. Dear friends, this is not just any nature miracle story. I am convinced with other New Testament scholars that this is about resurrection. This is a proper resurrection story, only transported from the end of the gospel to the middle of it, or to the kind of almost beginning of it. But it is a resurrection story. Disciples are in a boat by themselves. And a boat itself is an image of the church. This is a nave, another name for a boat. This is us being in that boat. Jesus is alone to dismiss the crowd. Yes, it is that part which connects that with that previous story where he fed the multitudes. But the Greek word here is to let go, to liberate. That has been a long tradition in the church for the Holy Saturday, yesterday, that on that day, Jesus descended to death. And not just to be there, but to liberate them, to liberate the crowds in hell. Let them go from the prison. And then, according to some traditions, he even ascended, as we heard this morning. He ascended first before returning. That is that mountain. Meanwhile, disciples are at the end of their strength. In a boat, in the middle of an angry, hostile sea, wind blows against them. They are getting nowhere on their own. And then, just before a daybreak, Jesus walks across the sea. Might that be an echo of Exodus and that other Easter story of liberation from slavery, from Egypt? And then first disciples, when they see him, they are terrified and think of a ghost. This is quite common reaction in resurrection stories. You would recognize that from Gospel of Luke, for instance. Either they do not recognize him at first, or if they do, they are terrified. Who would not be? Fully appropriate for this kind of divine appearance. Or resurrection. And fully appropriate for resurrection or divine appearance is also Jesus' solemn assurance. "Take courage, it's me. Don't be afraid." It is not only here, it's elsewhere with these epiphany stories or stories of resurrection. With these solemn words of assurance, he climbs into this boat, joins them in, And then wind calms down and they are completely amazed. They are safe and utterly amazed. It is difficult to stammer in writing, because if you are writing, you are in control of your hand. But that is exactly what Mark, Gospel of Mark, does here in this place. Because there is kind of a jumble of words about amazement, several from different directions, from different stems of verbs. They were utterly amazed by amazement and amazed. Well, I hope that I proved to you that this is a proper resurrection story. And, you know, to theologians, it is an interesting information. But you might say, and what? And what indeed? We must not stop with this information. I want to challenge you, I want to challenge me, I want to challenge us with something difficult, because quite unusual. I want to challenge us to take this story and make it our own. And make it our own. Jesus rose from death into the faith of his followers. Certainly into the faith of those followers 2,000 years ago. But I believe, I am convinced, into the every followers thereafter. And also followers today. Jesus rose from death and rise from death into mine faith, into your faith, into our faith. I know it is a radical idea, and yet very important and quite, and you think it about it, quite simple. As people of faith, most likely you are already doing it. Only you are not aware of it. So allow Jesus to rise from death into your faith and your life. Just look at our text and in it and its context. What is there? Right before there is the feeding of multitudes. Then in our text it's liberating. Then right after it is healing, reassuring and supporting. Before our short passage, Jesus was feeding multitudes. It was a miracle of sharing. And you can think about our meal program, packing our fellowship hall every Thursday so that we have to turn people out, unfortunately. Or our support of food pantry, buying airfare animals, or many other ways of feeding people, friends and strangers. This congregation does, and many other Christian congregations do. Then walking on a sea is an image of fearless liberation. Fearless liberation from Egypt, from slavery, strive for peace and justice in our world. Just think about the work of our Peace and Social Justice Network, their activism, their demonstrations for right thing in this world, for tax fairness, for appropriate accommodation of those who are homeless. And then after our passage, Jesus brings healing, brings strength. Because illness in Greek and many other languages is simply described as a weakness. So by healing, it is giving strength to those who don't have it. Those who are weak, powerless. And we can start with supporting of our medical missionary in Malawi, fighting epidemic of AIDS in Africa, just like this congregation did and does here in our community. Striving for universal, truly universal health care. Those are just first steps. Visiting, supporting, strengthening each other. Being community of love and support, dignity and acceptance. Then when we take all these tasks and many more, and you can definitely imagine that there are, living out Jesus' passion for justice, inclusive love, and taking it seriously, we can feel very quickly very exhausted. Believe me, I know, and I believe you know as well, firsthand. Just like those disciples in the middle of that lake or sea, we feel often like them, don't we? Alone, abandoned, exhausted, in the dark, in hostile environment, struggling against the wind blowing against us, living honestly, truthfully, openly in this world, and especially in this megapolis of ours, of 8 million people, is uneasy. It's not a common thing. It is difficult. But then, right then, even more than in any other moment, we need to allow Jesus to rise from death into our faith one more and a little bit different way again. Not into my faith, but finding the way as a community of faith into the faith of each other. Not only allowing Jesus to be risen into our individual faith, but also trust he is risen in faith of our community. And as we sail through those rough seas, bringing calm and friendly breeze of encouraging, reassuring, supportive divine presence to each other. Yes, saying to one another, take courage, I am here, don't be afraid. Take courage, I am here, don't be afraid. Saying to one another, take courage, I am here, don't be afraid. Take courage, I am here, don't be afraid. Say it to one another, take courage, I am here, don't be afraid. Take courage, I am here, don't be afraid. Take courage, I am here, don't be afraid. Take courage, I am here. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. Don't be afraid.